These scriptures are somewhat relative to the reading that I have this morning. The original title, it was originally titled, How Strong Is Your Faith? And I decided to change it, How Strong Is Our Faith? Because to make it a little more inclusive, including myself, by the way. So the title this morning is, How Strong Is Our Faith? God has a purpose behind every problem. He uses circumstances to develop our character. In fact, he depends more on circumstance to make us like Jesus than he depends on our reading the Bible. The reason being is you face circumstances 24 hours a day. Jesus warned us that we would have problems in the world. No one is immune to pain or are insulated from suffering, and no one gets to escape through life problem-free. Life is a series of problems, and every time you solve one, it seems that another one is waiting to take its place. Not all of them are big, but all are significant in God's growth process for you. Peter assures us that problems are normal, saying, don't be bewildered or surprised when you go through the fiery trials of life, for this is no strange, unusual thing that is going to happen to us, to you, to us. God uses problems to draw you closer to himself. The problem says the Lord is close to the brokenhearted. He rescues those who are crushed in spirit. Your most profound and intimate experience is worship. Worship will likely be in your darkest days, when your heart is broken, when you feel abandoned, when you're out of options, and when the pain is great and you turn to God alone. It is during suffering that we learn to pray our most authentic, heartfelt, honest to God prayer. Then we're in pain. We don't have the energy for superficial prayers. Joni Erickson Tata notes that when life is rosy, we may slide by knowing about Jesus, with imitating him and quoting him and speaking of him, but only in suffering will we know Jesus. We learn about God in suffering that we can't learn any other way. God has kept Joseph out of jail and kept Daniel out of the lion's den and kept Jeremiah from being tossed into a slimy pit, kept Paul from being shipwrecked 3 times, and he kept the 3 Hebrew young men from being thrown into the blazing furnace, but he didn't. He let those problems happen, yes, and every one of those persons was drawn closer to God as a result. Problems force us to look to God and depend on him instead of ourselves. Paul testifies to this. We felt we were doomed to die and saw how powerless we were to help ourselves, but that was good. But then we put everything into the hands of God, who alone could save us. You'll never know that God is all you need until God is all you have. Regardless of the cause, none of the problems could happen without God's permission. Everything that happens to a child of God is Father-filtered, and he intends to use it for good, even when Satan and the others mean it for bad. Because God is sovereignly in control, accidents are just incidents in God's good plan for you. Because every day of your life was written on God's calendar, by the way, before you were even born. Everything that happens to you has a spiritual significance. Everything. We know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose for them. For he knew his people in advance, and he chose them to become like his servant. This is one of the most misquoted and misunderstood passages in the Bible. It doesn't say God caused everything to work out the way I wanted to. Obviously, that's not true. It also doesn't say that God caused everything to work out to have a happy ending on earth. That's not true either. There are many unhappy endings on earth. We live in a fallen world. Only in heaven is everything done perfectly the way God intends. That is why we are told to pray, Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. To fully understand, you must consider that phrase by phrase. We know Our hope in difficult times is not based on positive thinking, wishful thinking, or even natural optimism. It is certainly based on the truth that God is in complete control of our universe and that He loves us. That causes, there's a grand designer behind everything. Your life is not a result of random chance, fate, or luck. There's a master plan. History is His story. God is pulling the strings. We make mistakes, but God never does. God cannot make mistakes because He is God. Everything. God's plan for your life involves all that happens to you, including your mistakes, your sins, and your hurts. God is trying to produce Christ-likeness in each of His children. This process necessarily involves suffering, frustration, and perplexity. The fruit of the Spirit cannot be produced when it is all sunshine. There must be rain and there must be dark clouds. Trials never seem pleasant. They seem very difficult and disagreeable. But afterwards they yield the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who are trained by them. How often we hear a Christian say, after passing through some great crisis, it wasn't easy to take, but I wouldn't give it up. To give up the experience for anything else. James speaks of the testing of your faith. He pictures faith as a precious metal, which is being treated by a sayer, meaning God, to see if it's genuine. The metal is subjected to the fires of prosecution, sickness, suffering, or sorrows. Without problems, we would never develop endurance. Even men of the world realize that problems strengthen the character. As an industrialist called Charles Kettering, I noted the industrials here, once said, problems are the price of progress. Don't bring me anything but problems. Let patience have its perfect work, says James. Sometimes, when problems come, we become desperate and use frantic means to shorten the trial. Without consulting the Lord as to his purposes in the matter, we rush to the doctor, for example, and gulp down large doses of medicine in order to shorten the trial. By doing this, we actually may be thwarting God's program in our lives. And it is possible that we may have to undergo a longer trial in the future before its particular purpose is realized in us. We should not short-circuit the development of endurance in our lives. By cooperating with God, we will become mature, well-rounded Christians, lacing in none of the graces of the Spirit. We should never become despondent or discouraged when passing through trials. No problem is too great for our Father. Some problems in life are never removed. We must learn to accept them and to prove His grace sufficient. Paul asked the Lord 3 times to remove the physical infirmity. The Lord did not remove it, but gave Paul the grace to bear. If you recall, my last message a number of weeks ago, when Moses led the Israelites out of Egypt, he had to endure nothing but grumbling, and he complains and general dissatisfaction with his escape to freedom. Do you think if he had problems, it was a faith in God that kept him going. When we face problems in life that God obviously isn't going to remove, we should be submissive. And I repeat, submissive to His will. A gifted blind writer wrote these lines as a girl of 8, by the way. I repeat, a gifted blind hymn writer, and she wrote these lines, and she's a girl of 8. Oh, what happened? What a happy soul I am. Although I cannot see, I am resolved that in this world contented I will be. How many blessings I enjoy that other people don't. To weep and sigh because I am blind, I cannot and I won't. God is good, God is generous, God is gracious. And James says God gives His wisdom without reproach. The word reproach means to insult, to hurl, inactive, to harm. When we come to God for wisdom, He never scolds us for coming. No matter how often we approach Him, because God is good, and generous and gracious. No seeker should approach him with doubt. He can be trusted, but if we fail to trust him, we should not expect him to answer us. But let him ask in faith with no doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is double-minded man. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. This is from James 1, 6 to 8. The word faith is found only twice in the Old Testament. I repeat, the word faith is found, and that surprises me, twice in the Old Testament. But it's found 16 times in the book of James alone. The book of Hebrews reminds us that without faith it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. If we approach God without faith, we have decided to live life, a life of our own way. To make our own decisions and to separate ourselves from him, then the cause of God not answering us belongs to us and not to him. The man of faith is a stable man, looking in only one direction for the wisdom he needs. He knows what the God to whom he prays is able and willing to respond to. And we are constantly reminded that God is able to help us in our trials because he himself has chosen the way of suffering. And I repeat, he himself has chosen the way of suffering. We know that patience produces character. What happens outwardly in our life is not as important as what happens on the inside of you. Your circumstances are temporary, but your character will last forever. The Bible often compares trials to a metal refiner's fire that burns away impurities. Peter said, these problems come to prove that your faith is pure. Your purity of faith is worth more than gold. A silversmith was asked, how do you know when the silver is pure? He replied, when I see my reflection in it, when you've been refined by trials, people can see Jesus' reflections in you. Under pressure, your faith life is forced into the open and shows its true color. And I repeat, under pressure, your faith life is forced into the open and shows its true colors. Since God intends to make you like Jesus, he will take you through the same experiences that Jesus went through. That includes loneliness and temptation, stress and criticism and rejection and many other problems. The Bible says, learned obedience through suffering and was made perfect through suffering. Why would God exempt us from what he allowed his own son to experience? Paul said, we go through exactly what Christ goes through. If we go through the hard times with him, then we're certain to go through the good times with him. And responding to problems as Jesus would, problems don't automatically produce what God intends. Many people become bitter rather than better and never grow up. You have to respond the way Jesus would. Remember that God's plan is good. God knows what is best for you and has your best interest at heart. Let your faith in God be your guiding light. And so ends this reading for this morning.